losing streak is over. Pelicans absolutely destroy the Mavericks 131-110. Before we get into it, like, comment, subscribe. Let's do it. First took away. That's the best. Get your money's worth. Chaz, Chris, Connor, Ross, Lito, Chris, let's start with Dyson Daniels. Go ahead. Just go. Start with Dyson Daniels.
You want to talk about him and Herb Jones being in the starting lineup and that being the reason that they dominated this game?
The addition of Herb Jones coming back into the starting lineup. Yeah, let's talk about it. I'm ready for it.
In combination with Dyson Daniels, like what that does for them defensively and how they were able to get in transition after transition after transition. All of a sudden, the energy's moving. It helped that Dallas shot they didn't shoot much well. But I mean, I think Dyson had another game, third consecutive game with at least 10 points. You know, hit
really
a couple threes.
Nice stat there. Third game, yeah, huh?
But in all seriousness, I think Herb returning to the lineup was huge. But I think him and Dyson specifically playing together, it's kind of like football, man. You know, you got Dyson pressing Luka at the line, making it difficult for him to get up the floor, and you got Herb back playing safety, being able to do whatever the hell he chooses to do. It gives him more freedom when there's another really good defender out there on the floor. They got to stick them two together as often as possible, you know, for defensive purposes.
Lito, before we get to, presented by Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. Lito, what was the difference tonight? Did you see it? Because we were talking in the group chat. Some people said they saw a difference. Some people didn't. Let's talk about it. Did you see anything different tonight with the Pelicans?
I saw a drastic difference. In a lot of areas, to be honest. The first one would be just giving a fuck. Felt like they gave a fuck tonight. They played with heart. As you can see, I'm back in the projects. They restored my feet back in New Orleans in humanity because like they was just like they was them boys was just laying down. They ain't really they really had no wow.
Why are we doing this?
We're starting off hot early. I like
that's
this.
Let's cool on, maybe.
We got to have better standards, man. We got to have better standards and values.
Chris, this is the thing. If I pulled that comment up there, Justin would.
Keep going with it. Keep going with it.
All right. So I feel like, So Herb returning into action seemed to be the catalyst for a lot of these things. And it's a very wild start, Dustin. I feel like Herb underpaid. Like, we'll just go call a spade, Herb underpaid. He just has so many fucking intangibles that he brings to the game that you cannot account for. And I tweeted this. He's very low maintenance. He doesn't require a lot. He's gonna get his shit in the Florida offense. And he's gonna put your best play on a t-shirt. Brandon to me was incredible tonight. I totally love Brandon's style of play. Brandon's whole mode tonight was a different mindset for me. That's what I saw. As far as like, I mean, everything. I'm sure you want to get into that later, but I just wanted to ask you your initial question.
No, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Chaz, what did you see again from Jordan Hawkins tonight? Once again, he brings a different, when he's playing his role coming off the bench, I feel like it's just instant offense, something that this team really hasn't had. I mean, I don't have the stat. I think he went 5-11 from deep, 25 points. But when he gets going, man, he's scoring in bunches.
Yeah, I thought his effort and energy was like it is every night. Honestly, I thought the difference with this game, to Chris's point, was people kind of tried harder. I didn't really think they did anything particularly different. I just thought they kind of gave a shit tonight. Jordan Hawkins, he's a person who always gives a shit. I thought Dyson and Herb and their defensive effort, them kind of getting on the boards more than they have been in the past. And Hawkins, he's a guy, you know, when he got it going, man, just feed the high hand, man. And again, his ability to get to the rim also, I think, is a bit underrated. And he went for that incredible one-handed yam over my dog, Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, I'm glad he missed it because Kyrie, I'm a big fan of Kyrie.
Hold up. Hey, hold up. Hold up. Chaz, can we, I have this clip low. I got to play it.
They've got a season high 12 steals, by the way.
Everything but the finish.
That ain't gonna happen again. He gonna make the next one. I watched a lot of film on him. I seen him make that a ton of times. But overall, I just thought his energy was great, and I felt like it was just a great energy across the board tonight.
Keyword energy. I completely agree with you, Chaz. Ross, let's talk about, because Leo brought up Brandon Ingram. What did you see different from Brandon Ingram tonight? Look, we were all hard on him. I was especially hard on him. I saw less dribbling, better shots. Pause. Sorry, Chris. let me collect my thoughts here. Less dribbling, better shot selection, and making everybody else around him better.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, before I get to the Brandon Ingram stuff, I mean, the biggest difference tonight, I've watched a lot of NBA games in my life. I don't know if I can ever remember one where a team had 17 steals. I mean, I'd have to really go look. That's a big number. If you get into double digit steals every night, you're probably going to win. But that's here nor there. Look, I went and looked at some of the player tracking stuff for BI in the middle of the game, because I know I sent you guys a text at some point in the second quarter where he made four great passes in a row. All off of one or two dribbles. A couple of them were in transition. One was a great slip pass to JV. JV then kicks it straight to the corner for a wide open three. Four possessions in a row with the starters still in there. Four unbelievable passes. And so after that, I kind of went and looked. And, I mean, for this season, BI's average seconds, like when he has the ball, average seconds per touch is almost 5 seconds. When he gets the ball, he has it for at least 5 seconds. Think about that for a second. Shot clock's 24. His average dribbles per game, 264. Average passes. Went and looked at all that stuff. I'm really, really curious for the tracking data to come out for this game tonight, because I'll be shocked if all those numbers aren't flipped. I mean, there's no way he dribbled for 5 seconds per touch tonight. There's no way it was 4 or 5 dribbles per touch. There's no way. I mean, I felt like he was moving the ball so much faster tonight. I felt like he was more decisive. There were a couple times we caught him off down screens and curls where he didn't even take a dribble, just, you know, came off a screen, pulled up. When he plays like that, you see a totally different flow to the offense. You see he looks more confident when he plays that way too, because he's not trying to do more than he's capable of. I thought he played great. I really did. I thought Brandon had a great, great game.
That's crazy. Whatever. Disagree with me all you want. All right. Barbecue lays chips.
Barbecue fucking chips.
Don't y'all just fucking hating on me. Chris, reality. Herb Jones.
There we go.
I agree with this, but can we please talk about Dyson Daniels defensively tonight? Because look, Herb does incredible things, but I thought Dyson tonight was especially elite. He had a couple of really good contests on Kyrie, not just tonight, but he also did last game as well. And I feel like now that is finally taking to the other side of the floor offensively. He looks way more confident.
Luka had 6 turnovers in the first quarter.
That's a lot.
And simply Dyson being out there, because think about it. If Dyson wasn't out there, you got Herb on Luka. And we've seen that, you know, consistently, right? Luka is an all-world player. But having another threat, man, like, listen, Dyson was great. But to me, as great as Dyson was, and it's similar to Herb, it's the combination of the two. Dyson's going to make, you know, some really good plays from time to time, especially. He ended the night, I think, with 3 steals. I think now he's probably averaging 2 a year. But I don't expect that because – that doesn't surprise me. I think when it works best is when the best player is neutralized because of the entire group. Now, everybody from Zion, from Brandon, from Jonas, they can focus on other things. They don't have to – you know, they can gamble a little bit more. You see guys ending up getting in passing lanes. The energy, you know, and I think their defense and Dyson's individual defense, it gave up. Like, watch Brandon. Watch Brandon play defense tonight. Helping, recovering, hedging, you know, communicating, pointing. Even Zion for some moments. It wasn't perfect, but I think everybody tried, and it helps when you have those level of defensive parts available to just disrupt shit. You're not gonna be perfect against guys like Luka and Kyrie, but you were able to disrupt it early, and you brought the fight to them, and you could only do that with guys, not just one or the other, not just with Herb out there tonight, but with Dyson and Herb. I think it was a really good between them, like the both of them had 8 steals.
I just want to add on it. Yo, I saw a lot of people when the lineup rolled out. A lot of people on Twitter were like rolling their eyes, like, bro, you go start Dyson and Herb? Like, how you gonna, like, where's the shoot mill come from? And that really just shows you, you know, when guys are locked in, defense is easily converted from offense, right? Like you can, they're so interchangeable because it has so much energy with the ball. And I want to say, like, we were talking about leadership. Like, maybe Herb Jones is the leader of the team, though. Like, maybe Herb is the guy that gets the shit in line, because they look totally different with him in the lineup. And Dyson was just as incredible, but it's like their defensive activity. It was kind of like The Last Dance when Mike and Scotty were talking about guarding Tony Kukoc. Nah, I got him. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was just making shit. They was making life difficult for him.
Can we bring this comment up? Because he keeps setting records, but do y'all honestly think that Jordan Hawkins can be in the running for Rookie of the Year? I know Victor Wembanyama, like, I understand. Do y'all think he can actually?
No. Why would you ask that question?
No.
Thought you asking fair that question almost makes us look like an asshole for saying no, for having to say no.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would you ask that question? He won't be in the race for Rookie of the Year?
What's the race?
No.
What's the race?
Boy, y'all are on one tonight. Jeez,
he's not even—he won't be.
He's not even close to Chet.
Yeah, like no.
Okay. Well, Chet fucking lit it up tonight. Where'd Chet go from the field tonight, Lito? Look up those stats. He was fantastic. What'd you see from Zion tonight, Chaz?
This guy.
I saw just a little bit more effort and energy. I didn't think the top two played like incredible, to be honest. I thought it was the same offense for the most part. I thought Zion, like, the thing that really aggravates me with Zion particularly, he doesn't have any discipline with his closeouts. He had fouls he didn't have to get. He had about three fouls he didn't have to get. And I'm like, some of them were like, you closed out bad. Now you're trying to make up for it. It's kind of like dumb fouls.
Closeout, Chaz, like, you talk about him like not properly closing out with the footwork. Like, what is wrong? Is it effort?
All footwork. It's all footwork. Like, this overrunning the play and trying. To his credit, he's recovering, but it's just like.
You think it's an effort thing or an IQ thing?
I think it's an IQ thing, because I don't think you have to close out the way he's closed out the last two games for Grant. Like, he's terrified of Grant shooting, and I'm just like, oh, just give a good solid.
He's a good shooter, but like, just let him, like, if he beats you, he beats you, right?
This stay fundamentally sound. That's the thing that kind of got me. I thought his touch around the rim was better. I thought the ball sharing pause. I thought the passing was good in the half court. I thought that second unit that usually lights it up, I didn't think that second unit played too well tonight. It could be, honestly, it could have something to do with Larry not being in there tonight, just because, you know, you got a new guy there in the last two games, that unit hasn't played particularly well. But Zion, I thought you saw more effort on defense. He got that nice steal off Luka. I think that was the one he like kind of fumbled out of bounds. And when Luka hit his knee, something weird happened. It was like one of the first plays of the game. I just thought overall the effort across the board was better. I thought Zion had a better effort. I didn't think he had a spectacular game, though, aside from passing and getting involved in the rebounds. Last point, got to make your free throws, bro.
Where did he go from?
I think he went like 4. He made like his last
3 of
four.
7.
Zion, it's like, come on, like, let's keep the misses to about 3. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep the misses to about 3.
Can I give y'all some good stats here? Ross, let you go. But Zion Williamson, 7 rebounds. Brandon Ingram, 9 rebounds. Herb Jones, 4 rebounds. Dyson Daniels, 6 rebounds. That's what
Jonas,
you kind of want to see. I'd like
Jonas
to see more.
Jonas 3 rebounds.
Yo, I felt like Jonas even played tonight. He had a couple good moments, but Ross, like, we know when this team is rebounding the basketball and Brandon's getting it and Zion's getting it and they're playing with pace, that's when they're at their best. And I feel like tonight that was the difference.
Yep.
Got rebounds. We were able to get out in transition. And I just I think my long-term opinion is still the same, but I after shitting on Brandon the way we've shit on him for the last couple games, I at least in my opinion, got to acknowledge how good I thought he played today. I really do. I thought,
would you say his best game
all
of the
around
year?
Yeah, I thought all around he was great. Yeah. I thought his activity defensively was great. He got a couple big rebounds. You know, JV was kind of in some weird spots tonight on some switches. I thought Brandon rebounded the ball great. And again, I thought even in transition, sometimes when he can catch himself over dribbling, I thought pushed the ball ahead a few times to Hawk and got us good looks. I really did. I thought he played great. We rebounded the ball. It was a little bit easier to rebound it today because they didn't make any damn shots.
It's usually how you rebound the ball if they miss shots.
That is true. But you also lose the rebounding battle whenever the other team makes every damn shot.
That is true.
I was happy with the way I thought the activity defensively was great, and I think that just that basically led to the way it looked tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't undersell the difference in the game two nights ago and tonight. Mostly the same teams. I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about Najee in a little bit. I've been sort of hard on Najee. I thought he made a huge difference. So, yeah, no, all good.
Before we get to Chris, we got a lot of people in the room. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Please share all that stuff. We appreciate your comments. I'm going to try to get up as many comments as possible. Chris, we got to talk about it. Najee Marshall tonight, when he plays like that, he's very effective. And I think me and you used a great word. Chaos, whether it be organized chaos, disorganized chaos, you know, Najee Marshall is going to come in the game and at least give you 100% effort.
Yeah. I mean, he picked up where the Pelicans kind of left off once he entered the game. I mean, just from an intensity standpoint, right? Najee understood that the energy had to continue because, you know, Dallas was at some point, we're going to have a moment where, you know, when you got Luka and you got Kyrie and you got some of these other guys that were just in the building lighting it up, you know, it's only a matter of time before they find their rhythm. And you got to get up by enough points and make enough plays to keep them within arm's reach. And I think Najee, man, was out there. Like, you couldn't draw, you know, the plays. You couldn't tell him. You couldn't teach somebody how to do some of the things that he was doing. He just was doing them, man. I mean, and some of them, and we – you know, I called it unorganized chaos because some of the stuff wasn't right. It was a 2-on-1 at one point, and Najee just said, fuck it, I'm going for the layup, and he ended up getting to the free throw line. It was completely wrong with basketball sense, but it's Najee. It worked. And look, and this is all without him still, like, his jumper was horrible tonight, but he impacted the game in so many other ways. Some of the steals, the know-how, knowing where to be, why to be there, you know, the instincts, the IQ, and forcing turnovers, man. I thought it was great. He came in like a dog, bro. They let him loose. As soon as he got off the floor, as soon as he got on the floor, he knew he was out there to make plays, and specifically defensively, which he was doing really well in the preseason as well. It led to him having some really good opportunities at, you know, offensively, underrated passer. He gets the timing of when it's time to make the right play, I think. And the more guys you can have like that on the floor, the better.
Yeah. Look, I'm seeing a lot of these comments, and shout out. Appreciate the super chat. But them boys was playing out there playing for their future head coach. I see a lot of comments with Borrego needs to be the coach, things like that. Like, first off, it's one game. And I don't think that – I do think that – they played a different way tonight. I think it's very obvious, but I'm not saying that's we don't know if that's Borrego's. Like, is that because of Borrego's? Because of, you know, they had possibly a meeting. I don't know. But Lito, they played very different tonight for Borrego. And I thought Borrego did a couple things tonight that were very well. Chaz, you texted this where I think they sub Zion out late in the third, but then there was a dead ball, then they got him back in for offense. There was a 2-3 zone where, like, nobody was moving. We're 10 seconds left on the shot clock. They call a timeout. Borrego draws up a set. Herb gets free throws. Like, those little things of him realizing, like, hey, where can we get advantages here? I thought tonight he was fantastic, and he was not scared to sub and take guys out and bring guys in. I thought he was fantastic tonight. That's to you, Lito.
Oh, what
did you like from Borrego tonight? I'm not going to say should Willie Green or should Borrego be the new head coach of the Pelicans, but what did you like from Borrego?
He told me I liked everything. I like his he was coaching with purpose. It seems like I'm not trying to cause a coaching controversy or any of that, but it just seemed like a voice that maybe they resonated with tonight. Maybe sometimes the same message falls on deaf ears. Sometimes you need to hear a fresh voice, maybe every other game or so, you know, from being in the locker room, it gets like that. Like the message, it gets monotonous sometimes, like, you know, and this is not a shot at Willie, but you got to fight. Like sometimes somebody says something, maybe the same thing, but they say it using a different synonym or antonym here or there, and it just sparks the fight, I guess. He had some timeouts.
Second quarter, he took a great timeout.
He has some timeouts where he put personnel in the game based on a situation, and that was something that, you know, Willie's still learning the ropes, so to speak. So maybe he doesn't do that. And in Willie's defense, a lot of his staff have never been head coaches, so they've never been in those spots either. So it's kind of hard to, I guess, for him to learn in that moment. I'm happy to see him learn from Borrego, and I'm sure Willie's like soaking up all the knowledge he can. I thought he did a great job. I, as far as like the game plan, I don't know, because we still don't know what that is, and I don't want to turn this into a negative, but we still don't know what it is. I feel like they just played really hard tonight, and that was more so the game plan than anything else.
Chaz, what did you see tonight from Borrego?
I'm not going to give Willie Green any credit. I think Willie Green is one of the worst coaches in basketball, head coaches, and I think Borrego is, man, light years more intelligent as a head coach. Just at basic timeout management, situational basketball. I don't know how much credit I give him for rallying the troops tonight. I had this game as a victory the last like few nights, because I just think we match up kind of well with the Mavericks, because the Mavericks aren't like really fast. They aren't like a large team necessarily. And after all the team meeting and all that shit, you knew they were gonna come out with Pauls with a little bit more energy and effort. And you know, they got the proverbial I'm gonna say shark. They got the shark off their back, Pauls, with Willie Green's ineptitude. So they were able to go into this game at least with a bit more of a less of a disadvantage, you know, without being coached by Willie. But I didn't think Borrego did anything particularly special aside from add some intelligence to the game management.
Chris, what are your thoughts on this one? The idea of Herb, Hawk, and CJ Trey and Zion on the court together is giving me a boner, to be honest.
Yeah, Chris, how you feel about that?
Well, y'all even asking Chris that is like crazy.
Once again, we have to have better values and standards for this show. The show was featured on ESPN. I'm randomly pulling up my fantasy team, and I'm looking. Trey Murphy got a little red. I know the updates, but I'm clicking on it anyway, and it says some Propels talk, and you putting up comments here about bonus. That's crazy, and nasty, and disrespectful.
let me pose a question here, because Chris, I know we mentioned
it. I'm about to get a real question. Thank you.
Yeah, we mentioned it a little bit during the game, and I feel like going back maybe last week, at one point we talked about that it felt like there was some chemistry building between Zion and Hawkins in those minutes. Chris, I mean, I know we have the one pick and roll where, you know, Hawkins comes off, both guys obviously stay with Zion, and he just hits an elbow jumper. It looks like that's something that you could really start to incorporate long term, right?
Think about how often they used to run those actions with Reddick. Just put any shooter out there. It doesn't matter. Any shooter out there. And, you know, Justin, I know you said Zion Rose. Zion could walk He could crawl, and half the fucking team is going to follow him. It doesn't matter, bro. It does not matter. Like, he attracts, like, you know, attention, man. That just, it is what it is. So, yeah, if you're Jordan and you have any kind of skill, you are going to walk into an easy midi. You're going to walk into a three. You're going to, like, it's simple basketball. Any type of shooter. I don't care who it is. When Trey comes back, CJ, you can run that consistently, and it's going to be a problem. And they're going to leave whoever has the basketball for Zion, because he's Zion.
But the way I think the way Jordan sprints off the screen is also important, right? Because when the action happens on the left side, Zion threw it to Hawkins and kind of he ran pretty hard right off of Zion. And Zion, I don't even think Zion's role was that great, but just that he rolled.
It wasn't.
Rolled gave Hawkins a little bit space for like that 17-foot jumper.
I think you're focusing more on Zion's role than on the screen he set. And the way
I didn't think it was a great screen.
And the way Hawkins uses it. I think Jordan's got a little more off, like a little bit more off the bounce game than I thought he had. And I hate to be a proponent of us getting up like more mid-range jumpers. But in that situation, when you're talking about a guy using a screen properly and getting that wide open, like those are the shots that you're wanting to take. One or two dribbles. There's action happening on the weak side.
Ross, think about this.
There's something there.
That's a CJ McCollum play that you were able to run and execute with Jordan Hawkins as the ball handler.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know what that will lead to? Like, you see with Draymond and Steph all the time, Draymond just, like, acts like he's going to hand it off to Curry and just turns the corner, right? Keeps it, and it turns into an easy layup. Hopefully Zion could do that. What's your thoughts on this, Lito, with third attempts behind B.I. and Jordan Hawkins tonight?
Personally, no, it shouldn't be an issue. Like, I feel like, especially how they were playing tonight, I don't see an issue with it. You should get it in the flow of the game, however it – whoever's the hot hand, like that's who it should get to. I mean, Hawkins was what he made 5 threes. Like, I mean, got 12 of them. Like, I'm just never gonna be mad at that, especially with the efficiency that he's making them. I don't think Zion played a particularly good game, but in the aspect of giving more effort defensively. I mean, he had 7 rebounds, which would probably be okay for anybody else, but for him, I'm still not good with 7. And yo, I know Justin, I know you're telling me Grant Williams is a good shooter, dog, but
I mean, he's career 30. I mean, he's pretty good in Boston. And he's shooting 50% of the year this year. I don't know on the attempts, but like he's not like a. Either way, the Chaz is right. The closeout's awful.
Exactly. That's my point. I don't care. You closing out to the side. Like he's sidestepping the closeout.
He turned sideways too, which is really weird.
What is that?
He played defense with his back the other day. True. I mean, listen, man. He's trying to find other ways to affect the game and give him credit.
Chaz, nah. do you have a problem with Jordan Hawkins shooting 12 3-point attempts?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, because I thought about your comment the other night about how like Matt Ryan only got one and Hawk got a lot, right? And like a lot of them were like quick, right? They're like, oh, you could have maybe made an extra pass here and there. I thought tonight I saw a little more of it, but when he's got it going like that, I got no problems with him shooting that much.
I think a lot of Hawkins' shots, particularly tonight, or just in general, to Lito's point, they come within the flow of the offense. I think, again, with this team, bro, you take the victory, right? It is what it is. But I think you'd be crazy to take anything away from this game and think it's something you can bottle up and repeat. I think you'd be crazy. Like,
so you don't think you repeat against Denver?
I think they beat Denver, but I think this is – a perfect set of circumstances happened to like Najee hit a half court fucking three bank off the glass. Like Zion lost a alley oop in the air. You know, it was just so many weird things happened tonight. Kyrie. Like that just that like Kyrie was bad. Luka was bad. You take the victory, but you want with a game like this, you want to focus. If you're a coach, I would imagine you would want to focus on the negatives. For example, JV shooting, getting 5 field goal attempts. Brandon going 1 for 3 from 1 for 5 from beyond the arc. Zion missing free throws, his closeouts. To me, Dallas played bad and the Pelicans played with great energy and effort. And they took advantage of a wounded team, something that they haven't been able to do previously. I don't know how much Borrego got to do with that. Now, I ain't gonna lie, you know, these dudes, they started fast and they never kind of faltered in the second half. So I don't know if that's a thing, an ongoing thing. That's, you know, maybe you could replicate that, but unfortunately, Willie will be back at some point, and you may see this energy and effort kind of falter a bit.
Chris, there's two comments. Real quick, because I want to get to this comment.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Chris, so this comment's first. Appreciate the comment, but Hawk only gets open because of B.I. and Zion. I couldn't disagree more, because then I feel like this comment from Austin is Hawk moves off the ball like Steph. I've seen enough. He's going to be elite. Chris, as a rookie, and someone in the comments early on had mentioned something about UConn, and I think you've talked about this on previous podcasts too, about how he was in a championship program, championship team, and now he comes in ready his rookie year knowing how to play basketball. And the way he moves, man, it's that's why Steph's so elite, because you can't guard him, because you never know where he's going to go. And I feel like I've already seen Hawkins do this for 11 straight games now.
Yeah, the fundamentals are right. You can tell he comes from a good program, but you can tell he worked to be a part of that program and be an essential part. Like, that's the element there. He wasn't someone that was there because of his fantastic physical gifts or athleticism or anything alone. He worked. So you can tell in the footwork. You can tell in the movement. You can tell how he navigates through screens, around screens, using certain screens in different ways versus others. Jordan just knows how to play basketball, and he has a really good feeling for when it's time to be aggressive, and he's not afraid to fail. So sometimes you'll see him shoot a shot and you'll be like, you know what? You probably shouldn't shot that. But I can't get mad at a hooper for going out there to do what he's paid to do. In his mind, he's not looking at 12. He might be saying, I should have shot 15. Like, I mean, he's not worried about role. He's not worried about – he's worried about playing basketball and making the play that he's paid to do. And I think it's a good mixture of, yeah, you got parts that should open up wide open threes. Like, you know, maybe Hawkins is wide open because of Zion and Brandon, but he's not open just simply because of those two. He understands space. Watch him run the floor. Watch him feel his lane correctly every time. He knows exactly where to be. He's not going to get in the way at all. He's not going to be clunky. He's going to a corner. He's going to a wing, and he's ready. That stuff you practice over and over and over again, being around basketball, you know, for long, and putting in the work to being able to know what works for you, where to go, and having a high IQ.
Yeah. Ross, anything you want to add there?
No, there isn't. I mean, I think Chris said it best. There's nothing really to add. I think the comment was silly, and yeah, he moves great off the ball.
Yeah. Once again, a lot of people in the room right now.
I just don't need to belabor that. Like, there's nothing. What do you want me to add there? Like, why would you kick that to me? That's a bad pass.
Once again, a lot of people in the room, hit that like button. Make sure you share and obviously subscribe. All right, Lito. How we feeling about JV? As Chaz previously mentioned, he got 5 shot attempts tonight. Got to be a season low 3 rebounds, but had 4 assists, 6 points, and he was the highest plus minus on the floor tonight, plus 23.
Played the least amount of minutes, I think.
Yeah.
In the starting lineup.
He played 20. Yeah, he did. 22 minutes. 22 minutes.
I mean, that changed nothing. That changes nothing for me about JV. I think the thing when you think about JV, it's all based on usage, like how you use him within the game. I mean, are you going to let him use his physical gifts against the other squad, or are you just going to let him get dominated in the pick and roll? Are you going to come back and let him attack on the other end? So it's just all about usage. He did have 2 blocks tonight. So, you know, that's something that people complain about. He doesn't get enough blocks. Actually, I think in the last 5 games, if I'm not mistaken, in the last 5 games, he has had at least 2 blocks. I'm not going to say
last 5 games.
I think he's had the last five, he's had at least 2 blocks. I think 1 game he had 3 blocks. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it because they got blew out by like fucking a million points. But I think Jonas is fine. Jonas is a like Shamit said the other night in his tweet, Jonas is a professional basketball player. He's going to suit up and do everything you ask him to do. You want him to space the floor, which is going to take away from his rebounding. He's going to do that, even though it'll affect his stats and game performance. And you won't hear him complain about it. I have no problem with Jonas.
Chaz, through 11 games, you've seen Jordan Hawkins. What do you think he needs to get better at? And I kind of agree with this comment. Is there anything else he needs to get better at right now?
Just keep putting the ball. Right now, he's fortunate and blessed to be in a role where he can just do the thing he's already good at. And he's already rebounding at a high level, in my opinion. Just keep getting stronger. Work on your handles a bit. But that's not something I'm even looking for this year. That's something I'm looking for, as his game continues to progress. But just keep rebounding. At some point, he's going to hit the wall, I think. But he does other stuff. Like, he didn't start shooting well till recently, like the last maybe 4 or 5 games. But he does other things that'll make him a very useful guy. Him, even if he's not shooting well, he moves so much off ball, he'll still be a distraction. You still have to know where he is as a defense. And he's
a good rebounder, man.
He's a great rebounder. I don't think his passing is bad at all. I think his passing is solid. I think he's a really good, solid all-around player. And I think when he does hit that inevitable rookie wall, I think he'll still be able to do things to keep the defenses honest.
Yeah. I didn't realize this, Ross. Herb Jones had 5 steals tonight.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the Philippines.
Out of Philippines. Appreciate your comment. Thanks for watching. 5 steals.
Zion made a. You got to be careful doing that.
You talking about the Zion pickpocket?
No. Zion made a comment about, I think Borrego said a bunch of great things about Herb. Zion made a comment about Dyson's defense being the catalyst, but I only say that to say. So I'm looking at a comment here. No. I'm not. It says,
"How you good as Herb?" From? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. As good as Herb is on ball, he's even more special off ball. Roman, I 100% agree.
That he had an Ed Reed moment where he took the Luka. He took the Luka lob to, I forget who it was.
I 100% agree. And that's not saying he's of course is an incredible on-ball defender, but he's that special off-ball, basically playing a modified zone. His own zone defense, going out, navigating to wherever he chooses to, and he has the freedom because of what he has. And it might not have to be just Dyson. It could be Najee. You could be welcoming back Jose, or it can be, so on and so forth. But having more individuals that can do other shit to where Herb doesn't have to do everything frees him up and makes him more special in the entire defense. I think, Like, bro, you mentioned, we were talking about Jonas. Jonas was moving his feet in ways you haven't seen, but because he was just involved. He was out there playing basketball. Everything made sense. Okay, he wasn't able to score, but, he was involved in the offense. Dallas continued to double him. They ran, consistent baseline post looks to Jonas, and it opened up side-to-side looks over and over again until Dallas decided to not double. And when they didn't, he made a post fadeaway. That's all you could ask for. Pick your spots. And I think, a lot of guys ended up doing that, tonight, man, and it was important. Just do it again.
Yeah.
I think to that point, though, like the stat sheet, dog, as far as like getting a win is the most important thing. Like the stat sheet should not be the most important, like your plus minus or your points, right? Like if you contribute to winning basketball, situational basketball, and being a exactly there will be. I think the thing that you gotta respect about JV is he ain't gonna complain about it either way. He just gonna suit up and do what he do.
Right. We do gotta talk about this, Chaz. They're starting to get a little bit more healthier. Hopefully Jose's coming back soon. CJ's coming back soon. Excuse me, Trey Murphy's coming back soon. that means less minutes for players that are playing right now, right? So like Matt Ryan, I think Matt Ryan got 20 minutes tonight. I didn't realize it. Was it more in garbage time? Okay.
He probably got eight minutes in the first half.
When we start getting healthier, whose minutes, like Najee Marshall gets 21 minutes tonight, Matt Ryan 20, and Jordan Hawkins gets 33. Whose minutes are gonna start diminishing here?
You saying if it was me?
If it was you, yeah.
If it was me, you probably wouldn't see Jose no more. Like I would. I think Jose is a cool novelty player, but I think the time for cool stories is over. Like I think I'd be remiss. You just lost five games in a row, so you take your victory, but let's keep things in perspective here. So I think Najee is a guy who he's an X factor. Some nights he's not going to play. Some nights you're going to see Matt Ryan play, depending on what you need. Mm. And I think this staff would be the intelligent thing. It's probably why it won't happen, but it would be the intelligent thing to do to play to your advantages and be able and willing to switch up things from a night to night basis. Some nights you're going to need Najee's ability to penetrate the defense, finish at the rim, get to the free throw line, his defense, rebounding, etc. Some nights you're gonna need Matt Ryan out there to stretch the floor. I think Dyson is a shoe-in. You're not seeing Kyra no more. Sebron, all them dudes, they 86. It's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
What do you think happens to Hawkins? Like how many?
I don't think nothing happens. I think Hawkins.
You think do y'all think he stays with those with these? I'm not saying he's get 33. Y'all think he gets 20 plus a night?
Yeah, because he got maybe not 20 plus a night. I think he got the same opportunity that Kyra and them got, and he succeeded where they failed. And he's shown – I think when the shot stops falling, he'll get less minutes. But he does – you need that on the court, I would think, with Brandon and Zion, because they don't shoot a lot of threes, so you still need his attention.
Chris, you said no?
No.
You don't think he gets 20-plus minutes a night the way he's playing right now? Why?
No.
Why?
Because you're welcoming back Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy's going to Trey's automatically plus 20 minutes, right? 25 minutes, you would say.
Yeah, easy.
Easy.
Should be 30 for being in reality.
Should be 30. So let's take tonight's game for an example, right? Okay. So let's say you give him 30 minutes. Is Matt Ryan playing in your rotation?
Matt's giving me 8.
Don't forget
Matt
CJ.
Would give me 8.
Oh, shit. Don't forget CJ.
Don't forget CJ. Because so JRE
I was about to ask. No, you need a backup center. I mean, unless they really want to get crazy, which I'm 100%. If they really want to punt the backup center,
I know what you're about to say.
If they won't do that, that's fine. But okay, CJ's back, right? So those are 30 plus minutes that you have to allocate for. You're talking about Trey. You just told me 25 should be playing close to 30. How many minutes you giving Jose? Pause. That's crazy. How many minutes you giving? Jose gonna be on the floor?
12 to 15.
Najee playing?
Jose Alvarado not get 12 minutes.
Najee playing?
Najee's my odd man out.
Hawkins. There will be nights where Hawkins deserves to play 20 minutes, but he's not guaranteed to play 20. That's
Hawkins gives 15, you
a, that's 15 minutes, Justin.
I don't think I can agree with if he gets 15 minutes right now. If we're talking about right now, he's only getting 15 minutes. I think he deserves minutes over Jose, to be honest with you, if we're gonna do that.
Okay, but you still splitting them. How many minutes Dyson Daniels getting? You're not playing Dyson off the floor.
No, Dyson and Herb got to play. I mean, they both
got to play.
Who's
supposed to play more? Dyson or Hawk? Who's supposed to play more? Dyson or Hawk right now?
Dyson's supposed to, but I give it to Hawkins if I have Herb. Dyson's playing. Dyson's playing good. I'm letting you know. He's playing good. Hawkins gives me a different dynamic on an offense where I can surround him. Like, could you imagine a Zion? Let's go Zion, Hawk. Trey, Brandon, and I don't know, pick your fifth guy, JRE or whoever.
Okay,
like, you know, Ness, like that is a tough ass lineup to guard. I don't know how you guard it. If JRE especially doesn't hit outside shots, and if they can clean the glass and Zion buys in, I'm just
you would play
you,
Jordan you, Hawkins more minutes than Dyson Daniels.
Yeah, in the regular season, yes. I would.
You need to be
drug tested. It's all about scoring. Immediately. In a regular season, it's all about scoring.
Immediately. Look, man, immediately. Herb is a shoe-in for four fouls.
You know what? Let them go.
What? Oh.
I'm enjoying y'all. Like, I'm
listening. What does that matter, though? Who's a better defender, Herb or Dyson? Answer. Okay, who's a better scorer, Herb or Dyson? Say it.
Consistently?
Say it.
Right now, it's Dyson Daniels.
Who's a better creator?
Herb.
Who's a better shooter? Who's a better
rebounder?
Who's a better shooter?
Dyson Daniels. What are we talking about?
Dyson Daniels airballed two wide open threes tonight.
Pull up the stats. Dyson
was 2 for 6. Herb was 2 for 4.
Pull up Dyson. The stats. Look. I think Jordan Hawkins should play, but Dyson has leaped him right now. He has.
I think you see Dyson more because you don't have a backup 4 or 5 really. The JRE thing, he's a solid player. He's been a solid player throughout his career, but I don't know. I think it's going to boil down to my biggest knock on the Hawkins pick was I was like, I don't know how he plays if Trey or CJ are healthy. Like, that was the thing that always kind of like, I just don't know how that works. So now if CJ, I don't know how long CJ is going to be out, but in the event that CJ comes back, I'm like, and then you still got to, Trey's probably not going to start right away, but you still have a Trey Murphy needs to be starting problem. Like,
yeah,
you know, that it's a lot of things that gotta get worked out.
Let's talk about that. Does Trey? I don't think Trey starts when he comes back because I think they're gonna try to, you know, I'm sure have minute restrictions and stuff like that. But by mid-December, end of December, should Trey Murphy be in the starting lineup over, I guess, Herb Jones or CJ McCollum? Yep.
How many points you want to give up a night? How many points? How many points can we give up? How many points can we give up a night and still win?
He wants to play Hawkins more than Dyson, so a lot, I guess. Go ahead.
120, I think 115. But Chris, you know defense.
You're gonna struggle to keep people under. You're gonna struggle to keep people under 115. Struggle.
And I think you struggle keeping the Pelicans under 115.
You think you win this game tonight if you start Hawkins and Herb instead of
Hawkins not starting. Hawkins not starting.
If it was Hawkins, if Hawkins started instead of Dyson tonight, do you think you win this game in the way you did?
No.
Okay. Curious. No. I was curious.
That was the right start. Go ahead.
No, I agree with Chris and Chaz. I think Dyson is like, it's more universal. Like it's more. Okay, well, fuck. I want to hear Ross's shoot. What the fuck? I want to hear it.
What's the truth, Ross?
I'm not sure. In regards to what? Do I think Trey should start over her?
I don't know. She just said, I want the truth.
She just wants, like, my truth. I mean,
Ben Affleck.
I don't know, man. I got a lot of kids. I don't know. I'm tired. My truth. Fuck. Next question. No, that's too deep, man. We've
got to get into a fact. Yeah. And that's the major good point, Donald. Great point. And that's why, you know what I'm saying? You gotta take your time when you're sick. You don't want to rush back.
Larry not getting the minutes back, bro.
Hang on, Justin. And to be fair, like, because I just want to solve the problem that we're all been arguing about for 20 minutes. You're assuming everyone is going to be healthy all at the same time at some point. And it's highly unlikely with this group of people that's going to be the case. Like, so depth is a good thing when, like, most of it is healthy.
We know
with this group, it's probably not going to all be healthy.
Most importantly, Larry is not getting those minutes back.
Let's talk about that. Before, once again, like, comment, subscribe. Please hit that like button. Helps out the channel, helps out the show. Thanks for all y'all's comments. Who wants to take Larry first? Leo, you want it?
Excuse me?
Damn, that was wild.
Say, Leo, you want it?
Whoa.
Go ahead, Leo.
I mean, he already said he want to take A from Matt. I mean, he's crazy today, boy.
Yeah. You know, shout out to Black Order. Shout out to Black Order.
Yeah, shout out Black Order. Hey, Ben Affleck.
Black Order, appreciate it.
Black Order, appreciate it.
Oh, this should be a good
one. I mean, I'll just pull it up, but we got to talk about later. Trade Ingram, Nance, Kyra, or Jose, and put Trey Murphy in the starting lineup. Bring Hawk off the bench as six man. Give Dyson minutes. Like fixes everything.
I can't say I don't agree.
I am beautiful.
Wait, hey, you chat.
Wait, y'all want
to take Larry Nance? Y'all want to take Larry Nance? Y'all want to take this?
He's right.
Y'all want to talk Larry Nance? Or you want Brandon?
Yeah, let's talk.
Thank you.
I'll go. I'll give the first opinion on Larry Nance. He's done.
We'll go Larry Nance.
He's done. What? I think Larry Nance is done. Time is up.
What do you mean time is up? You don't think he gets back?
I don't know when he comes back, and by the time he does get back, Trey Murphy will already be back, and I just don't see a place for him to play valuable minutes with the amount of wings. Like, I mean, you're already talking about a small amount of minutes available for him at like a backup center in certain lineups against certain teams. I just don't see. I mean, he just hasn't been very effective this year. You're going back last year to, you know, a little bit of time where he was closing games. I don't see it. I think you have other players that can fill that role in a much more useful, like, groupings of lineups and stuff. I think he's done.
Damn.
What I said?
I'm not there. Yeah.
Wait, go ahead, Chris. Because I don't think I'm. Wait, what did I don't know? You're gonna have to tell.
I like Larry.
Trapper BG. What did I say?
I don't know.
Trapper BG.
What do you think about that, Chris? What do you?
I don't like your name. I'm gonna hate that.
What are your thoughts, Chris, on that? And we'll go Chaz.
If the team Larry could have been out there with one leg tonight. And if the team was playing with the kind of purpose and energy that they were playing, he would have looked fine too. I think that his shooting ability so far that what we're seeing, like his shot looks repeatable. Mm. I think works. He's obviously, you know, I mean, he's taller, he's more athletic, he gives you a little bit more. But is he a better overall basketball player than Larry Nance?
Yes.
No, he's not. He's not.
Whoa.
But that's not the question. Not. That's not the question. Like, because
yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. No, because like, there's a difference. I think what we're talking about in terms of filling this little small role that Larry has occupied the last few years.
Respect.
It's not just necessarily looking for who the better basketball player is. We're looking for who can occupy that space and be most productive.
Let me ask you, I mean, is Larry going to be healthy, Ross? If you don't believe that he's going to be, and I'm talking early last season, if you don't think from a health perspective that he can return early to the dude that was out there physically last season, if that's what you're telling me, then I agree. But if he's going to be health-wise the person that he was the beginning of last season, before the shoulder, before that, JRE's not anywhere close to the level of what that Larry Nance was playing. This other dude that's been out there carrying luggage
defensively.
What the hell is happening? Yeah. Okay. And that's a whole different, like even now, like Larry's a better defender
than
JRE, respectfully.
That. For sure.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I think even healthy. Larry just reminded me of bad Dyson. Like, really solid rebound, like, can be solid rebounding. Yeah, he remind me, even healthy, to me, he's like the worst version of Dyson that dunks. Because Larry just...
That dunks.
Man, Larry, you could just pencil Larry in for about 2 to 3 really bad turnovers a night. And I think when you see this team giving up offensive boards, particularly when Larry's in the game, Brandon and JV at times, it seems to be like a strength thing. Like, they just get out-muscled, out-powered. I think JRE helps you a little bit with that. To Larry's credit, though, man, you know, for as many, you know, as much as ill-fitting as Larry may be, Larry shows up to work.
You do. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Larry shows up to work. And you can't. Yeah, he's a pro. You got to appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? It's just biology is undefeated, bro.
To be clear, I'm not saying trade Larry. I'm saying
he needs to take some time. Well, that's wait, hold up, because
he's just been healthy in such a small amount of time he's been here. Like,
yeah,
Well, like, this is where, because I think Black Order, you're wrong, and Chaz, you can, Chaz or Ross, whoever wants to elaborate on it. Is it really hurting their pockets?
Yes! Hell yeah!
Is it not tradable salary that you've been talking about?
See, with Larry's contract, it comes down to the years. If Larry was on a current expiring contract, it would be more attractive. Right. But and Larry, I want Larry to get all the money. In fact, for what Larry and CJ got to deal with this roster and that duo, they underpaid. You know what I'm saying? They underpaid. But Larry, at this stage in his career and with his availability, he's a minimum player making an extra $9+ million. So that's a real backup point guard you could have had. Truthfully, you should have never even saw, you probably should have never saw Jordan Hawkins. It's a good thing that you did, but JRE, that dude shouldn't be here. Cody Zeller should have never got no minutes. You shouldn't even really have seen Sebron, because that's 2 to 3 solid to good rotational players that you could have put into this lineup and that may have kept you to float and made a difference in some of those 5 games that you lost. It ain't Larry's fault though. Fuck. I mean, you're gonna ask for as much money as possible. Right. It ain't his fault. He should have asked for more. But yet and still, I think
is this even an option, Chaz? Is this even an option?
Nah, Larry ain't got no option. I think it's a Griff special, no options, right? I think next year that contract becomes more, you know, available. But with this team, you can't even think about next year and what you're gonna do in the off season and all that. This is you need to fix shit now today. Like, you know, you ain't got the luxury of thinking about next year.
Yeah. Lito. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, this question?
Yeah, about Larry.
Oh, I mean, like, man, shout out to Larry, man. Show up for work. His body just breaking down and yeah. It's never been healthy. He's you can't point to a time in his career where he's had health. It's always been he coming back from something, and that's just the nature of the beast. Coming to this team, he was coming back from something. He had,
yep,
yeah, I think he had just had surgery on something. It's just one of those things. And he's a basketball player, honestly. Like, if you were to put film of somebody to do the right things and not have all the talent, but to be able to fit in and make the team work, you would watch Larry Nance. He is great in his role. That probably sounds like I'm being disrespectful, but I'm giving him credit as
preach,
like
a coach.
I'm giving coach. Him a, yeah, like, I mean, he's a coach. He's an NBA player's kid. Like, he has seen the game for a very long time. He has a very high basketball IQ. I'm not saying he's a great player, but I'm saying that in the grand scheme of things, like, he plays defense, he rebounds, he knows how to make a good outlet pass. But yeah, I think his minutes are gone. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but wait, the OKC game, for example, right? They don't win that game if JRE plays those Larry Nance minutes. You know what I'm saying? They don't. So if
I don't mean to cut you off. I don't even remember Larry Nance minutes that game. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. I just don't remember.
I think he hit a big three. He did hit a big three.
He hit the first three when we started off 4-21 or something. He hit the next three whatever it was. 1-20, whatever it was. He hit the next three.
I think that could have been anybody, though. No, but that wasn't the only thing that he did. If the team is playing with them, right, with the energy again that they played tonight, and Larry is healthy or close to healthy, it's a big if. I understand it works. I don't think, me being overly excited over JRE, like, I mean, at this point, if you play, 13 minutes tonight, you could feel a lot of different individuals in it. Cody Zeller could have probably played those minutes tonight, and I would have been okay. But I think we're understating if you believe that Larry can return back to being.
That's my next segment.
I don't think it has anything to do with JRE.
I don't think it does either, and I don't think it has any. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Russ.
No, I should say it's not. The reason I'm saying that has nothing to do with, because I think JRE is some like godsend. It's just the fact that we have 6'10" or 6'11" Trey Murphy coming back. Everybody's wanted to see more Zion at the five. We got CJ coming back at some point. Dyson's been playing well. You got 400 guards on the team and wings. Like, it's going to be JV and then some small lineups. I think is going to be the ceiling for this team. And
I feel like this thing, like what Ross just said, is basically what I'm basing my Larry point about the minutes. It's not necessarily about JRE, but it's also about like situational basketball. So if there's points where Larry can play cool, but like I kind of feel like we putting too much on Larry Nash's plate as is.
Valid point. Let's get to the last.
That's crazy. Pause. That's crazy.
Let's get to the last segment of the show. We'll probably spend about 10 minutes on this comment, and it's going to be an interesting conversation. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. It really helps the channel. Last time, make sure you hit that like button. Chaz, we'll start with you. Would you trade Brandon Ingram for Zach LaVine of the
Bulls? That's crazy.
I would. I would do it just because of the stability of Zach LaVine's contract. Zach LaVine, you know, he's quite a bit more available than both our superstars and stretch the court. plays a more exciting brand of basketball. Cause like losing is one thing, but losing and being boring is another thing. That's like, what the fuck? So like I pulled up this stat and I'm gonna do a show about it. Like Pelicans are 28th in attendance this season. So that's like, and this team has been relatively healthy with its stars. People just not, you know, in five games, it's 28th in attendance. People not showing up with Zion and Brandon on the floor. It's just like, it's a, that talk about the coaching fit. I'm sorry, talking about the on the court fit. Zach LaVine, hell of a shooter, hell of a finisher at the rim. You know, I think it's a more of a basketball fit. And I don't know many cons to it, like personally, longer contract as well.
Ross, would you trade Brandon for Zach LaVine?
Yeah, I would. Chaz, I think kind of laid it out pretty well there. I mean, look, you've got Brandon's extension, which is kind of a big question mark. What does that look like? What's he going to be expecting? Does he even want to be back here? Like, there's some risk associated with that that are outside of basketball completely, right? Like, I mean, you risk him walking. I do think Zach LaVine gives us something we don't have, which is a guard that can create off the dribble from an athletic standpoint, can finish above the rim. He's a really good shooter. Now look, he's got some defensive concerns. But I just feel like he brings something that we don't currently have on the wing, right? Like he's a different type of player than Dyson. He's a different type of player than CJ. He's a different type of player than Herb. He's a different type of player than Trey Murphy. And I just think that he's going to be able to help spread the floor, or a player like him would be able to help spread the floor more than BI does, while also still being able to create off the dribble and doing some of the things that Brandon does do well.
Leo?
So this is a good question. And I think we had a podcast the other day where we talked about this, and I said Zach LaVine, and I thought about it, and it's crazy because I actually have this pulled up. Brandon is a better rebounder. He gets more assists per game, and it's half a block, so it's not a lot. But the thing with Zach is the amount of threes that he shoots, the gravity in which he shoots them, it would be probably optimal for Zion in that situation. The concerns defensively, who's a worse defender?
I don't think Brandon's a bad defender. I don't think he is.
No, no, no.
I don't think he gives effort.
He just don't want to answer the question, and that's okay.
No. This is the thing.
You just don't want to answer the question.
This is the thing. This is crazy. Justin, this is the killing man with the highlighter do-rag. Just hold on a second.
That's team issue, right? Not in the court.
This is the problem. But listen, that's my problem with Brandon. Like with Justin, you said he's not a bad defender. I want the effort every single time because this shouldn't even be a question.
The question is the question is, would you trade Brandon Ingram for Zach LaVine?
I probably would.
That's like a 59% yes, with like room for doubt.
What's making you think? All right, hold on. What's making you
because when he plays when he tonight, dog, like when he plays with concern and care, when he plays within the game, when he doesn't, when he dribbles less and gets other people involved more, bro. When he plays like how he played the night, dog, I like he would be optimal. Now, granted, the threes weren't great. That's probably the thing that will not get better. Will he shoot more threes? Will he be better at them? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm trying to read them
They got some wild comments in here. Like,
I'm trying to read an answer. It's like
some crazy off the wall stuff. That's
crazy. I think a lot of people think this like the Chris Hansen chat. I don't know if y'all remember Chris Hansen.
Take a seat. Chris, what Chris?
What the hell are you doing here?
Chris Connor.
Oh, huh?
What you got?
I'm sorry. I thought Leo was going to answer the question. He still hasn't. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to actually answer the question. No, I wouldn't. I don't. That's unfortunate. I would want to trade. I would want to trade Brandon. If that's the route I'm going, I would want to trade Brandon for multiple players that I feel like can impact the future, or that's someone who I believe is undoubtedly better.
That's a good answer.
And I don't believe that Zach LaVine is undoubtedly better. He gives you some of the same questions, right? I don't know how good. And on top of that, he also has injury. I don't know. Like, he has two bad knees. Like, I don't – as athletic as he is, that kind of athleticism, especially in New Orleans, scares me with our luck and our history. I understand the fit, but then there's also the questions about how good of a defender he is. And here's the biggest thing. If I trade Brandon Ingram, I need whoever walks in to say, that's his team. It's not. I'm walking into a situation where Zion Williams' team. And I've seen Zach mean enough to where I don't know if he believes that Zion Williamson would be the best player and the person that the entire system goes through. Can't believe it, and you run into the same problem. So, I think Brandon Ingram was a better player than Zach LaVine, to be honest. Like, you know, from top to bottom, even if it's not by much, I think he's better. You got to give me something that's undoubtedly, without question, better.
Can I say this too? I think one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that you're not just getting Zach LaVine, right? You're getting Zach LaVine, possibly a better Zion, a better Herb. Well, you know, and putting Herb in a better situation because it's more space. And you're turning over the reins to Trey Murphy at the small forward position. So you really like giving everyone a chance to kind of assume new or probably more ideal positions in the offense. You know, and I think you're kind of doing Willie Green a favor by, if Willie Green's still here, because I would imagine if Brandon's gone, Willie's gone as well. He probably gonna have Willie in a suitcase.
But you gotta tell me what you mean by that 100% though, Chaz. Because when we're talking about Zach LaVine, do you think he walks in and he's accepting of being a number two, bro? Because I don't know. Can he make those guys better if we're not sure he would be walking into a setup and saying, okay, I'm gonna take a back seat. We just had somebody have a whole conversation about taking a back seat. Right.
I think with my how I view the Zach LaVine thing, Zach LaVine wouldn't be my first choice. My first choice would be the Jaden Ivey cat package. But for me, Zach LaVine isn't the permanent solution. Zach LaVine to me is the stopgap guy. So I could, because we still, once you move Brandon, you still don't have tradable salary no matter what, right? Because either you move a Herb or Larry at this point, soften the showman. Yo, Zach LaVine, you don't know. You keep saying that. If you knew what your hero was up to. But anyway, Zach LaVine, he would be more of the stopgap guy to me, since this team don't have like tradable salary, unless you're including Herb or Dyson, one of those guys, which I don't think any of us want to do at this juncture. I think you see if Zion and Trey can do it, because for me, this is about to be, if Zion is the guy, if he's not the guy, cool. You move him too. You just, now you give Trey and whoever the opportunity. But I think you got to start the process of chipping away and maximizing the better fit of players. And, man, it's just 3 points, just more than two at the end of the day, man. And that's
Chris, really, you know. Where are you? I guess I'm, so I've seen Brandon not, I've watched plenty of games where it's clear that Brandon either thinks or has been told that he's the number one option here, right? You agree with that?
Yeah.
For the most part, for better or for worse, right? I mean, not forgetting his opinion on who should be or who shouldn't be. Forget all that.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like since DeRozan has got there, I mean, I think over the 3 years, he's probably taken more shots. I've seen plenty of Bulls games where he's, you know, LaVine is totally deferred to DeRozan in the late in games. You know, obviously DeRozan is a better fourth quarter player. Historically, hits a lot of game winners, is, you know, really tough in those situations. But I feel like I've seen him defer. But I don't know, maybe if you know something that, or is that just your opinion that you question whether he would come in here and think that he would be the number one option based on age or talent level? Because I don't feel like he's been like a huge problem from that regard, at least in Chicago.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It just feels like a lateral move. I don't look at Zach LaVine and say like he's someone that makes your program better. And while I would, from a business standpoint, I agree with what Chaz is saying, but then you would have to tell me that the Pelicans would be taking the Milwaukee approach, which they haven't shown that they'll be willing to do, to which at any point would blow this motherfucker up. Yeah. At any point around our best guy, we will retool, we will reset. Yeah. And until they are willing, until that's a thing with them, it's hard for me to buy into, all right, well, you got tradable salary, you got something that's not work, you can flip it right away, because they don't do that.
You know what I'm saying? I agree with you on that.
I thought that last person, that last comment really summed it up perfectly.
Which one?
As far as just the fit, right? I don't really think Zion cares about being number one.
You don't.
I think he don't want to get two shots and a half. I think that's really what it boils down to. Like, I saw one play tonight. Zion's in the post. They crash down, double him real quick. He dribbles out. He managed to escape. And I'm just like, damn, yo, that just, he managed to escape this time. But, like, how that's just never going to stop, bro. And it's like, you got to have an outlet. And I'm just thinking about this offense. Like, look, Herb played great. Herb played great tonight. Herb had some stankers earlier this season. You know, and Herb had a couple stankers earlier.
But he affects the game in other ways. Like, you can't, yeah, just, but he, you was, can't base his game off.
He was infecting the game.
Okay. Back-to-back games before he got hurt, right? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about, like, Denver. He's just such an offensive liability when there's no space on the floor for him to operate. And he doesn't rebound particularly well. So,
other than when we play how we played tonight. And the ball,
yeah, other than, like, if you get this Herb every night, awesome, right? But you're not gonna, of course, you're not gonna get it. But I think, man, Zach LaVine, even if you keep CJ, CJ, Trey Murphy out there, it's just like Zion, like, what you gonna do? Like, that's just, to me, that's just too appealing, even if you decide not to keep that dude.
I think Chris got a good point. I don't want to ever give Chris credit, but I feel like I feel like the thing he said about Zach, that's why I said I was on the fence with it, probably because, like I said, I was looking at the numbers and looking at Zach's salary, it made me feel like I can't clearly say like he's better than Brandon. And the other thing too is it would be multiple players. For me, I think what people got to keep in mind is, though, I don't care if it's Brandon, Zion, I don't care who it is, I want the best player available. It could be if my grandma was out there playing, I'd be like, Trey, ass, she trash. It wouldn't really, if she's not playing good, it wouldn't matter to me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's just how I feel about it. Shout out to the highlights.
Justin, what would you do?
That's a really good question.
He said it's the same question. We all
no, yeah, I love the question.
Like, he's just heard it. He heard Chaz, it for the first time.
Chaz, there's well, I get it. I like listening to y'all. Chaz, you texted me today. LaVine and Caruso.
Yeah.
And that is something I would do. I wouldn't, I don't think I'd do Brandon for Zach straight up.
Nah,
I think there are other people involved, maybe with Brandon and LaVine. So right, no, but if you get me a Kobe White and a point guard or a Caruso, like one of those guys, like
Justin, that's stinky.
What?
Kobe White,
and bro, you have Caruso, you have Caruso, Herb, and Dyson.
Well, okay, is that the only move we can make? This is it. This is the only move we can make. This is legitimately the only move we can make. This is it.
With this organization, it is one move at a time, dog.
Well, I don't think Brandon. I don't. Here's the thing. I think Brandon's better than Zach. Zach shoots the three better, but I think Brandon overall, I've seen him be elite and really good. I like Brandon Ingram, but the contract really scares me. I don't think he's worth $50+ million. That's not saying he's a bad player. I really like him. I think he's a good player, but do you want to invest $50 million? I think Shamit did it. It was like 50, 54, then like 60 million in year three. Like that is a lot of money for Brandon Ingram. So that's what scares me.
So don't you think he even wants to come back here? Like
I do. I think he likes it here.
Yeah, okay. You talking about Brandon?
Yeah, I'm saying the end.
Absolutely.
The end of next year.
No, we don't. But go ahead.
Free money, unlimited PTO.
Low. I think Brandon really likes it here.
The way he shot down the extension talks. I mean, this offseason, I guess I'm just kind of.
No, it's like a crackhead living in a crack house. It's just like what. Scrooge McDuck swimming through fucking gold coins. You know, there's no expectations here.
We're not talking about what Zion is worth. We're talking about what Ingram is worth. Like, I don't know why this dude, I feel like this guy.
I don't know. I don't know. It is not worth really acknowledging it because here's the thing. I'm glad you brought this up, Mont Dog. I'll say this. Check this out, Mont Diggity.
This is great, Dante. This is
check, good check this out, M Diggity. Yo, Caruso just made an all NBA team. Like, let's, you know, and you can move him if you want to, but and he's a champion. But I'll say this. Everything that has happened with Zion so far up until this season has happened on Zion's rookie contract. You follow me? He's a two-time All-Star on his rookie contract. Can you dig it? Pause. Everything that has happened with Brandon is on his max contract. It's two totally different situations. They just happen to play for the same team. But it's two totally different situations. As he's easy walking out.
Sorry.
They don't want to hear. Oh yeah, I know. It is what it is.
Y'all, I guess he talked to him when he found that out.
Yo, hey, look, hey, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, it's business at the end of the day. Let me ask y'all this. So, see, let's say Brandon or Zach LaVine weren't on this roster, right? Neither one is on this roster. You just got Zion and whoever you have left. Brandon and Zach LaVine are both free agents. You got to build a team around Zion, Trey Murphy, and all these guys. Who are you going to get? Injuries out the window. No, matter of fact, no. Injuries on. Injuries turned on. You know exactly, you know, what
do you think Zach LaVine's a better offensive player than Brandon Ingram?
Yes, absolutely. I think they may be in the same tier of player. But I think if you look at Zach LaVine's offensive output, Zach LaVine can step into the court on fucking Thursday and give you 50 points. You know how many shots Brandon got to take to get you 50 points? 51. Like, that's why, like, you know, again, great win tonight, great team effort tonight. They were trying to get B.I. to triple-double, and I feel like he deserved it for everyone playing with effort. I would have loved to see him get it, but let's – pause, you know, good pause. I was slipping. Like, but check this out. 25 points on 20 field goal attempts, 1 for 5 from three, 2 free throws. Like, you need more of an offensive output moving forward. This was a great victory, but I just don't think it's something you can bottle up and lose sight of the big picture, you know.
And Chaz, I think Lito, this too. This is a great point. A lot of people a lot of people are forgetting this is that Trey Murphy's payday is coming very soon. So do you want to tie up Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, CJ McCollum, Jonas to be off? Like, Trey's got to get paid. So Lito, now what? Do people now start seeing why Brandon Ingram, who's a good player, but there are paydays in order. With Trey Murphy's contract now how do you make
it? And you already in the tax for Cody Zeller. So
Trey's extension is when, next summer?
I think he's
sick in 2 years.
Yeah, you got like 2 years, but I think you got to move CJ soon.
I was about to say CJ is up. You gonna have to,
because you only got 2 years left after this year.
Okay.
I mean, on the declining contract, 25, 23 million.
What he's going to, CJ's what? Going to be 35, 34? What is he?
Probably about 34.
His game will carry for a while.
CJ looked great before he went down, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
He did for sure.
Like Eric, you can be an Eric Gordon and you just shoot corner threes. What?
That's insulting. Justin. Justin, your player comps tonight been crazy. You done called Brandon fucking Justin. Tracy McGrady.
Justin.
I forgot what other comp you made about somebody. Then you just called one of the
Tracy McGrady coming catching
game, Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's the best player from Los Angeles.
This is crazy, Chaz. Whatever. But
that's crazy.
Go ahead. Can we please talk about the contract?
Yo. Oh, we still talking about the contract. Okay, never mind.
Trey Murphy's contract, that is.
Yeah, I mean,
you gotta pay him, right?
Fucking is a fat baby heavy. Yeah, you gotta pay him.
What do you think he gets? What do you think he gets a year then? Like, I just saw someone say this. He's getting more than 20.
He's getting way more. He's getting 30. Vassal got 30 something or whatever he got. It's going, man. Trey getting in the big bread. That's my cousin. My cousin.
so y'all pick. So Justin, you opting to pay Trey over Brandon, right?
Yeah. What? Trey Murphy.
To be clear, I don't know if it's a one or the other thing. That's like a separate. We're kind of going down a long path here. I don't think it's like.
You don't think it's Brandon Ingram or Trey Murphy? You think you could pay Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and Trey Murphy and get rid of CJ?
I think it's a couple.
I'm not even sure you have to get rid of CJ at the time. We don't know what the cap's going to be in 2 or 3 years. There are other fringe moves. I definitely don't think it's one or the other.
Come on.
Austin, you wilding, bro.
Come on. You're having a worse show than I am, Austin. Come on now.
Michael Porter Jr. is on a max deal, isn't he?
Yes, he is. The NBA. You talking about NBA? Wait, you talking about NBA champion Michael Porter?
One of the best shooters in the NBA, Michael Porter.
That's like the whole point. Is he like
the dude who just
answered our own question? Michael Porter's on a max deal.
The dude who just out rebounding us the other night when Zion was playing basketball with his back to him, like that guy.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy, Lito. That was a little crazy. Why do y'all want Cat?
That's crazy.
Why does anyone want that's it? Right? Jordan would. But I think he's a distressed asset, and I think that's the type of people you targeting if you're the Pelicans, because he's a guy who would be he's locked into a contract, so he's not gonna rock the boat. He can't really go nowhere. He's potentially going to make less than B.I. could potentially make. Like on the B.I.'s new extension, if something crazy happened and he was to make all NBA, he would make significantly more than Cat. I think it's crazy.
It was just a comment, Justin.
Oh, what the comment?
I didn't pull that up. It's Chris Connor pulling this shit up. I know it for a fact now. It's Chris Connor pulling it up. That's exactly who's doing it.
That's wild. But yeah, you know. And Cat stretch big, distressed asset, same thing as because I'm telling y'all, they think this is Chris Hansen's show. Y'all don't notice that a certain player's fans got all something in common. Y'all be thinking shit coincidence. But anyway, I don't know. Cat, he's a distressed asset, bro.
Bro, what the fuck is this dude talking about, bro?
Let's stop. This is totally off the rails. Trapper BG, give me your next comment. What do you want Lito to clear up? Hold up. Let's do this. Okay.
I'm sorry, Chaz. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. You ain't even mentioned Zion. What the fuck?
Let's do this. Let's get this guy to comment. I'm trying to. Trapper BG, put the comment in.
You telling me you didn't know that guy you're talking to was 14? Yo, five pickers. Yeah.
Oh, Chris Hansen. No.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, make sure y'all like the show.
They'd be like, I thought she was 60.
They'd be like, honestly, I was in the car and I wasn't gonna do it.
I thought about it, but there's text messages literally of you saying
you
this.
Brought the chips and the Oreos. She
bro. Bro, that shit used to be crazy.
You were chatting up a 14-year-old kid.
Yo,
yo, that dude crazy.
I don't even know. I'm trying to wait for this guy's comment, and he won't freaking.
You called him out. He probably not even gonna come back now.
No, he is. He's a loyal guy. He's been here since day one. He's a good guy.
Bro, okay. Slow down, my man. That was wild. Yeah, I mean, what you even saying?
What did I say?
Oh man, can we trade
Trapper of the year 4 times in a row?
Yeah, I was gonna tell her. I was gonna tell her.
He said Z was playing D with back.
He says he was. Oh, he mean falls on the pause shit.
Oh,
I get it. He's talking about the Denver defensive stop.
He played deep.
It's amazing, right? A little accountability. I appreciate you. That's nice. That's good stuff.
he should be talking online. Does
anyone else have anything to add to this?
I do. I got something I want to say.
Okay, go.
The Pels played a great game, but I feel like it's something we didn't talk about tonight. They still got out rebounded, and they got out rebounded on the offensive and defensive end, and it got swept under the rug because of the turnovers, the steals, the 3-pointers made. But the same issue was still there.
Yeah.
What was the disparity?
It was 3 rebounds. It was 45 to 42, but they had 16 offensive rebounds.
Damn, that's 16.
That can't happen, yo. They had one play in particular where Tim Hardaway Jr. misses one. They get the rebound. He gets set, shoots another one, knocks it down. I was like, come on, yo. What is we doing, bro?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, good point. So Friday night they play in tournament against the Nuggets and then the Timberwolves Saturday, and then Chris Connor's back in town going to the Sacramento Kings, fully healthy.
Oh man,
Sacramento Kings. When are you in, Chris? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah, leave Thanksgiving morning. Man.
Like, comment,
leave
subscribe.
Thanksgiving morning.
Does that offend you?
Fuck type guys.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Like, comment, subscribe. See y'all Friday night.